Hello and welcome to Business Beat. I'm Nick Adams. Coming up later in the show, another source of biofuel could challenge our dependency on foreign oil. But first, across the Corn Belt, farmers flush with cash from high grain prices are investing in big grain bins to store that grain on the farm. That means they can choose when, where, and at what price to sell. Harvest Public Media's Kathleen Matcheson reports that farmers are increasingly building on farm storage to make them players in the commodities market.
Out on a windy winter day in central Iowa, Steve Dakin is standing in front of a grain bin he recently installed for a farmer. Dakin sells grain bins, but the name bin is a bit of a misnomer. They're the modern, souped-up version of a silo, big, hulking metal cylinders built on concrete floors. They can cost anywhere from $100,000 to close to $1 million. There are 7 grain bins on this farm, a few of which stand nearly 4 stories tall. And Dakin points to where he'll install another large one this summer.
He's going to put another one about where that wagon's at, across his driveway, just like this one here, same size, physical size as that one there.
The bins belong to corn and soybean farmer Larry Stolte, a quiet, seasoned farmer with neatly combed gray hair. If he takes his grain into a commercial elevator, he has to pay storage fees, and he has to sell the grain through them. But if he stores the grain on the farm, taking on more of the risk, he can play the market and sell to any buyer. By shopping around, he might only make 10 cents or so more per bushel. But for every 1,000 acres of corn with an average yield, that can translate into about $16,000. And sometimes a farmer really hits the jackpot, like Stolte did in 2008. That year, he bought a $100,000 bin. He says it paid for itself by that summer.
Okay, that's when it was, what, 08, when things really took off. It's just because we had the corn at home in the bin. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if we hadn't had the bin, it probably would have already been sold before the run-up.
He made as much as $3 more per bushel when prices skyrocketed. Now, that's not typical, but it's possibilities like that that make the risks worth it to some farmers, not to mention some nice tax breaks that make reinvesting in the farm business a good shelter. On-farm storage has been rising steadily over the last 5 years. Nationwide, it's gone up at least 2% each year since 2008. Grain bin dealer Steve Dakin says he's been getting calls off the hook from farmers.
Last year, we had 5 projects past $500,000. I can remember back in the 90s, when I had $500,000 for the business, I thought it was a big year. And we priced out a $600,000 one yesterday.
But commercial grain elevators say farmers might be overestimating the benefits of on-farm storage. Jim Magnuson is general manager of Iowa-based Key Cooperative, a commercial grain buyer.
If they're really honest about what it costs the electricity to run the fans, to own the bin, to make the repairs on the augers, you know, charging for labor to empty that bin out, you know, all those things that most farmers just kind of ignore those costs.
Still, he doesn't begrudge farmers the opportunity to make a bit more cash. In fact, Magnuson says just about everyone in the industry is building more storage. The last 5 years have seen some record corn yields, and trend lines show that's likely to continue. Both farmers and grain dealers know if too much corn floods the market, high prices won't last. But for now, they're eager to keep riding the wave. I'm Kathleen Masterson, Harvest Public Media.
Less dependency on foreign oil sounds like a nice idea, but where's the fuel going to come from? The ethanol industry, relying on the grain from Midwest corn, has been making inroads for years. Now, those same Midwest fields may provide another source of biofuel. Harvest Public Media's Eric Durbin reports that in a couple years, cellulosic ethanol could be making headway with biomass. Everything but the edible corn.
Drive by a field that's ready for biomass harvest, and you'll think you're too late. It's just broken stalks and leaves everywhere.
To the general public, they may think that you've taken the grain off and so all that other stuff out there, that's just the old term we might have used was trash, you know. Well, it's not trash. We know that there's a lot of value to that.
That's John Holman, an agronomist with Kansas State Research and Extension. In western Kansas, crop residue has a lot of value in preventing soil erosion. But it's also a biofuel source. Holman points out the corn stalks, leaves, and cobs that can all be used to produce ethanol. But it's a tricky science. Ethanol producers have been working on developing a biomass to ethanol conversion for more than a decade.
Certainly there are no operating commercial-scale cellulose facilities today. There's no doubt we will be one of the first. Whether we are the first or not is not critical to us as long as we complete it within our time frame.
That's Chris Standley, Executive Vice President for Abengoa Bioenergy's U.S. division. The energy company expects to open a commercial-scale cellulosic plant, basically a refinery, in southwest Kansas in 2013. Rival Poet is developing a similar plant in northern Iowa, also with a 2013 target year. Construction has recently begun on the two facilities, each expected to produce around 25 million gallons of ethanol a year. For ethanol from biomass, it's about following the crops. Iowa is the national leader in corn, while Kansas brings together a substantial amount of corn, wheat, and sorghum. Standley says that's what attracted Abengoa to southwest Kansas.
That area of the country is a kind of a convergence of multiple feedstocks.
In 2011, Abengoa was given a $132 million federal loan guarantee. That money will help finance the refinery construction, costing more than $400 million. With government support, however, comes expectations. And the ethanol industry has yet to meet the yearly production levels set by the Renewable Fuel Standard in 2007. That forced the Environmental Protection Agency to considerably slash the standard to less than 9 million gallons of cellulosic biofuel in 2012. Many analysts believe that even that is too high. Standley says that with Abengoa and Poet soon to come on board commercially, the industry is moving in the right direction.
We certainly believe that cellulose will continue to grow and will be able to meet the expected levels within just a matter of a few years.
In preparation for the Abengoa operation, agronomist John Holman and his colleagues are studying the effects of removing biomass from the Kansas soils. Historically, he says, farmers either graze cattle on their harvested cropland or leave the residue be to retain moisture for the next planting season.
You know, not removing all that residue, just removing enough to get some benefit and not cause detrimental harm. So I think that that's a good approach to take.
Many other projects across the country have received government support to convert such things as wood and solid waste into fuel. That's critical because the Renewable Fuel Standard sets an annual goal of 36 billion gallons from all renewable fuels by the year 2022. The cropland is there for cellulosic biofuel, but the next couple years will determine whether the infrastructure can meet that demand. Eric Durbin, Harvest Public Media.
Thanks for listening to Business Beat. I'm Nick Adams.